If you own a property and have a second mortgage on it, and if you want to keep this property and get rid of the second loan, attorney Shaw Perali can help. Call 510-742-5887. Due to the uncertain economy, many people have settled their debts for a fraction of its value. It's recommended to use an experienced lawyer to deal with it. Shaw Perali is an experienced debt settlement attorney and has handled hundreds of such cases successfully. There are no upfront fees for debt settlement. Only when you win, you pay. Call Shaw Perali, attorney at law, at 510-742-5887 or visit yourdebtsettlementattorney.com for a free assessment. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is established by this ad. The law does not guarantee success. Call 510-742-5887.
Beerables Inc. is an e-solutions company that provides custom web design, web application development, and internet marketing services to individuals and businesses. They can build powerful e-commerce sites, mobile apps, develop content, and market you on social media. They can help manage your brand's reputation and provide rock-solid customer support. Call today at 1-800-651-6091 or email us at info@beerables.com for a free consultation today. Again, the number is 1-800-651-6091.
And now, from the San Francisco Bay Area studios, KLOK proudly presents to you the prominent attorney Shaw Perali for the Shaw Perali Law Show, coming at you with over 50,000 watts of power. The Shaw Perali Law Show, where all your views matter.
Hello, 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 everybody. This is attorney Shaw Perali for the Shaw Perali Law Show. And today we have some news about immigration, of course, and about the visa bulletin. But before I start, I wanted to say thank you to Franco for being always punctual and making sure everything goes smoothly. And also, I wanted to wish everybody Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak. We are in the month of Ramadan, the sacred month, and it started on Monday. And since Monday was a recorded show, I didn't have a chance to wish you a happy Ramadan to all. And I hope all your prayers will be accepted. And may we get peace in the world with all the issues going on, so much tyranny, so much fire, so many fights. It's kind of hard to really even to look at the TV or the news. Is becoming really heartbreaking now. So I just wanted to mention that. And today, ladies and gentlemen, everything I'm going to say is my opinion. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. The number to our office, 510-742-5887. And the number to the studio today is 408-912-5565. 408-912-5565. And we are also talking today about, of course, yesterday the visa bulletin came out. And the horror stories is continuing. It's not getting better, but at least it didn't get worse. So we are still backlogged for India. If you look at it, even the F4, the family petition, which is for children of brothers and sisters, are stuck backward right now to 2001. Mexico is even worse, 1997, and the Philippines, 1993. But now, as for EB2, and EB3 for India and China, India mostly is backlog. It went 1 month ahead from last month, but it's still 2004. Of course, the acceptance date is still 2009. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem this thing is moving, and things are definitely now probably not going to move in that few months until we reach the new fiscal year. And of course, the elections are playing a big role in that. And we hope that the government will consider what we are losing here, because a lot of talents are starting to move to Canada. I'm hearing a lot of people, because I'm doing a survey, I'm trying to compile the stories of many of those people who are suffering on those visas, backward visa backlog. So I'm listening to their stories, but at the same time I'm meeting people on a daily basis who are looking into moving to Canada, to Australia, and we're going to see a brain drain if we continue this way. So ladies and gentlemen, feel free now, if you want to call, you have any questions on immigration, this is Attorney Shah Parali. The number to the studio is 408-912-5565. Let me take one caller. This is Shah Parali. You're live on air. Hello.
Hey, Shah. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Thanks. Thanks for the wonderful show. It's a great help to the community.
Oh, thank you so much.
So my question is, I'm on H-1B. Last 8 years, I'm on H-1B, and the project got over. The employer is saying I should quit. My question is it safe to move? Do you see any risks here? And are there any other options for me at this point?
Well, this is the question that like millions of people are going through the same problem right now. Once the project is finished, if the employer is not keeping you with them, you will have to move to another company. But just because the project is finished doesn't mean the employer cannot just take you under their own banner and work with them. Now, the second question is, you have an I-140 with that employer, right?
Correct.
Or you have an I-140 separately?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the question is that will they keep that I-140 alive for you? Because if that I-140 is cut off, then you will not be able to move to another company at all. No matter how much time you have left on the original company, you still need that I-140 at the time you transfer to another company. It is safe to transfer to another company. Forget about the green card, but at least the I-140 is there. As long as the I-140 is there. And as soon as you move to another company, make sure that they will start your green card process and borrow that priority date. But it is safe as long as the I-140 is alive. That's all.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, call me if there's a little bit things that you want to discuss. You can always call me. We'll do a consultation. 510-742-5887. Okay?
Right. Thank you, Shah. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Parali. You are live on air.
Hi, Shah. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir.
Go ahead. I'm on H-1B visa, and my wife is on F-1 visa from day one. As soon as we entered in U.S., we are in two separate statuses.
Okay.
And my wife is currently an OPT, and she's working for a good company, and I'm also working for a good company. And our company has plans to file H-1B for her. Even this year they filed, but it hasn't been picked up in the lottery. Next year they will file, and they are ready to do the green card. Meanwhile, my company has started green card process for me, and they applied PERM. It got approved, and the next step, I-140 documentation, they're taking it from me. So as part of I-140 documentation, they have asked about my dependent details, like spouse details and all that. So is it okay to, I'm thinking to even include my wife in my I-140 so that in case if my priority date becomes current first, I can let my wife take green card advantage from mine. Similarly, I want to put my name on my wife's I-140 when they start it. I do it like that? Can multiple green card processes can be done? It's not exactly multiple green card processing, but in two different green card processing, can I include my spouse and my wife can include my name?
Yes, of course. In fact, that's the way to do it. You have a backup on both sides. Let me explain to you how the I-140 works. At the level of the I-140, nothing is given to your spouse. It's only informational. Really, your spouse, let's say the I-140 belongs to you, if you include your spouse, she doesn't get anything at this point. Only thing she gets is her name is there. But at the I-45 level, that's when the spouse gets included, the adjustment of status. So you can have 10 I-140 in simple terms. You can have one with your spouse has with you, you can have another one separate, but you cannot have 10 I-45. Only one I-45 is accepted usually. Even though sometimes they take two or three, only one, because this is the alien number they use. So you're fine, and this is the way to do it. You have to have your name here and her name with you. Okay, now the other issue that might be coming up in your case, so I have to mention that. Your wife, if you include her name, which is a very, very slight chance of happening, they might actually down the road give her a hard time if she wants to renew the student visa, okay? But that's a very minor chance of this happening, because she already is on OPT, etc. So that's the only issue in your case. Apart from that, you're safe, okay?
Right. Okay. So extension question. Sorry for that. My wife is an OPT STEM extension, and she's eligible for 7 months. So she's going to apply for 7 months at the same time, and I'm going to apply for I-140 with my wife details at the same time. Most probably, both will happen at the same time. So
can you make your wife's case make her file a couple of days before you file? Yeah. Because at the time of the filing, because they can use INA-214B to deny it, which is very rare, but if they want to be mean, they can use it. Because at this point, once the I-140 is filed, even though it's not the reality, they can claim that she had the immigrant intent under INA-214B. But from my experience, it never happened, but I'm just telling you the worst case. So to be on the cycle, to sync between you and your wife, the best is to have your wife file a couple of days, then you file, okay?
But I can include my wife, right? Because she's on F1 visa, it's not dual intent visa.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can include your wife. Yeah, the problem is not the green card. The problem is for them to renew the student visa. Yeah, but she doesn't have to renew it right now, so she's fine, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me see if there's another caller. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Satish.
Hi, Satish.
Hi. I have two questions. One is with applying for citizenship. For me, it's been, I think, more than 5 years I have my green card. So the question is, with upcoming elections and all, like, do you foresee any changes in the requirements for applying citizenship? Will there be any changes you foresee?
No, actually, I'm seeing good stuff. I forgot to mention that I was at the immigration 2 days ago for two cases at the same time, because they're getting a lot of cases on citizenship. Officers were so sweet, amazing. They really made me in and out in 10 minutes, and those were difficult cases, by the way. They even made it so easy that they were ready almost to give the old date right away. So I think the officers too are feeling the fact that they need to make more people become citizens. So if you're eligible to file right now, file it. If you're in the future, then I cannot pronounce for the future. To change the rule of citizenship, you have to go to Congress. It's not like the one that you're seeing Obama doing through executive power. And no matter who wins, the Congress will get involved. And hopefully we won't have a racist Congress. They do are planning to change some of the rules of citizenship. But the rules of 5 years, I doubt it will be changed at this point. Well, anything can happen. I'm not saying no.
Yeah, but what I hear is it's not very easy. Like, it's not like a one-man session kind of thing.
You mean changing the laws of citizenship?
Changing from 5 years to 10 years or something like that.
They did change the laws over time. But the only thing is just like, it's the problem. It's not like something which is the 5 years rule has not been changed. Mostly what has been changed is the birth rights. Because depending on the time, some people who were born of a parent could be citizen or not. Right now, if you're born in the United States, no matter what, if your parents are legal or not, you still get your citizenship. But before, it was not like that. So they changed those over the years. But they have not really changed the 5 years of requirement of moral character, etc. So I'm hoping this will not change. What will change are other stuff, okay?
Okay, huh? Okay. And can I ask the second question?
Go ahead.
Yeah, the second question is, I want to apply citizenship or a green card for my mother. So, do I need to be a citizen or can I do it as a green card holder?
You have to be a citizen. There's no way out of this.
How much would be the expenses to do all the, like,
Which one? Doing the citizenship or the other?
No. Like, to apply for my mother. Assuming that I get my citizenship and then do it after.
Well, it depends. If you want to hire a lawyer or not. If you don't hire a lawyer, it's like almost $1,500 to around $1,700. That's the filing fees until she comes here. And depending now on the lawyer, give me a call at the office. We can decide how much work has to be done, because sometimes I give different prices depending how much work I have to do in the case. Okay?
Sure. And then your office is on Mission?
No, we are in Newark. We are close to Facebook, actually, now. We are here on Central, on Mission, okay? Not on Mission, in Newark, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. Thank you.
Good luck to you. Thank you so much, and good luck to you. And don't forget to get your citizenship and vote, okay? So let me take another caller. This is Shah Prari, you're live in here.
Hi, Shah. Great show.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. I have a question, like, a family of four got a green card on a sibling, like two brothers, and then came here, and then out of them went back on a three-year permit, and one kid who was like a fourth generation stayed here as a student on green card, and now they are coming back after 2 years, and only two of them, the wife and the second kid, are able to travel. The husband is not able to travel due to personal reasons, like got promoted, office reasons, won't get a leave. So they are planning to request another 2 year extension for just the mother. The second kid is also planning to study here, so both the adult kids would be here in US. But the mother is filing another 2 year extension. Is it like something that she'll be able to get?
Technically, yes, she can get it, but she has to come here and file it. Filing it from there.
She is able to come, but her husband is not able to come.
Yeah, then the husband is going to lose the green card there.
What are the options if you lose the green card? They have time till October. The permit is valid till October. Till October, can they do anything from India for the husband, or what else can they do?
Well, this is a very difficult question, because it's a case-by-case basis. If there was some kind of extraordinary circumstances, until October they are safe. That's one thing. The second option is the best, is to come back here, reapply for, stay here for 1 month or so, reapply for the reentry permit. Unless the husband is suffering for some kind of disease or someone is dying. Yes. If it is financial reason, just for a job, no, he will lose it. But it's at their discretion. He can always don't do anything. And then after that, he goes to the U.S. Embassy and file for the SB1 and hope they will give it. Or the other option, Let the wife come here, and the wife can refile. If the wife doesn't lose the green card, she can refile for her husband under the green card. That's the only solution I see, because just staying
and
there.
How about the kid? Like, so the one kid is already here 2 years. So in another 3 years, the kid will get citizenship.
So it all depends on the parents. The way the law works, I have fought a lot of those cases back in the days. The law works is that the mistakes of the parents are imputed to the kid. So if one of the parents is able to keep the child, well, I'm talking only about the one who are in India with them, right?
Yes.
Not the
yes.
one who came to the US. As
yes.
long as they can prove that if their mother, so basically, if one of the parents is able to keep the green card, they
yes.
might be able to keep the green card for the child. But if the child himself on his own is staying there, they will still punish the child. So
no, the child is like both the kids are going to be here, and so only.
It's very complicated. I think you need to give me a call, because this is too complicated to answer.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, because you have too many things in there. If you make one mistake, all the kids might lose it and the parents too. So even if one loses it, we can always get it back. But if everybody lose it, then what happens? We won't be able to help one another. So give me a call at the office.
Sure.
We will
sure.
discuss, because this is too many permutations in this case.
510-742-5887.
We can do a consultation on that. Let me see if we have another caller. This is Shapra. Are you alive in here? Hello? Okay, so I don't have any caller right now, ladies and gentlemen. So I was talking, of course, about the visa built-in. We had some very, very interesting questions. But sometimes, you know, I don't want to give you a short answer, because those questions require really almost drawing a whole family tree or a graph to get those answers. But the question is very interesting. Our previous caller asked is who is going to lose it, and the green card, and who keeps it. And if the children come separately, do they keep theirs? Yeah, they do keep theirs, but the small children who's staying with the mom and who's staying there, he might lose it because he's staying there. And if both parents lose it, the child also who's there is going to lose it, but the one who are here don't lose it. So it's a little bit tricky how it works when it comes to those abandonment of green card. We have some very good articles, by the way, and some YouTube video on this, but it is very tricky. I fought many of those cases back in the days. I remember I fought one for a child who was from Iran, where luckily I couldn't win on the law, but I was able to appeal to the humanitarian side of the prosecutor and the judge, and they agreed and they granted me this case. This was probably an amazing case, because to win it on points of law, it was almost impossible. So we were able to call on the humanitarian side of the judge on this, and of course the prosecutor. So the truth is that we have a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where many times you won't realize it. It's not always 100% the law that makes a case. It's a lot of factors. It's the factors of the human factor. It's the humanitarian factor. It's the how you prepare it, how you present it, and how nice you are with the officer, and how lucky you are. So it is amazing. And I was discussing about something earlier. We have won actually it was in one day. I won a bunch of those citizenship cases, because all the interviews were aligned just as a coincidence on the same day. And I was amazed the level of niceness, basically. I don't know how to put the word, but they were very, very nice, the officers there. It's very rare, but many of them are very, very good people. I'm not saying that, but they were very nice. They really wanted people to get their citizenship. And I know why, because it's an election year. They want more citizens, and usually citizens tend to vote, you know, a certain group. So we need more citizens. And don't forget, when you become a citizen, you got to vote. It's very, very important. So ladies and gentlemen, this is Attorney Shapra Ali for the Shapra Ali Law Show today. And you can still call. We will be taking calls for the next 10-15 minutes. 408-912-5565. 408-912-5565. And we were discussing about the visa built-in earlier. And we were also discussing about other issues. We're going to take a quick break. And after those messages, we'll be back and we'll be talking a little bit about the visa built-in.
Are you an H-1B visa holder? Do you have an I-140 petition approved or have an extension under AC-21 provisions? Are you on H-4 visa? If yes, we've got amazing news for you. As of May 26, 2015, you or your spouse on H-4 visa might be eligible for a work permit, aka EAD. And to apply, you need a lawyer who knows about H-4 visa issues. Lawyer Shah Parali has been at the forefront of this fight for H-4 rights and has actually helped make this dream a reality. Now, his firm is ready to help you or your spouse get their EADs. Call 510-742-5887 or visit www.splgpc.com to apply for your EAD. This is an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
Beerables, Inc. is an e-solutions company that provides custom web design, web application development, and internet marketing services to individuals and businesses. They can build powerful e-commerce sites, mobile apps, develop content, and market you on social media. They can help manage your brand's reputation and provide rock-solid customer support. Call today at 1-800-651-6091 or email us at info@beerbowls.com for a free consultation today. Again, the number is 1-800-651-6091.
If you own a property and have a second mortgage on it, and if you want to keep this property and get rid of the second loan, attorney Shaw Parali can help. Call 510-742-5887. Due to the uncertain economy, many people have settled their debts for a fraction of its value. It's recommended to use an experienced lawyer to deal with it. Shaw Parali is an experienced debt settlement attorney and has handled hundreds of such cases successfully. There are no upfront fees for debt settlement. Only when you win, you pay. Call Shaw Parali, attorney at law, at 510-742-5887 or visit yourdebtsettlementattorney.com for a free assessment. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is established by this ad. The law does not guarantee success. Call 510-742-5887.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is the Shaw Parali Law Show, and I'm taking a little bit longer break because it's Ramadan, so my throat is really dry. So I'm going to go ahead. We have some more callers. Franco, let me take the callers. This is Shaw Parali. You're live on air. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Ashok here. I'll be finishing my 5 years after getting the green card in August 2016. And we're planning to travel to India now. So is it advisable to start the process of citizenship application and then travel for a month, or is it advisable to come back and then start the process?
If you're going for 1 month, it's just better come back, but it doesn't really affect anything. The only problem is that if they call you for fingerprint and you are not here, then the case gets delayed. So if you want, just come back and do it so that you don't, there's no hassle, you don't have to rush or anything, okay? But there's no problem, you can find it and go also, okay? But just make sure you do your fingerprint on time, okay?
Okay, and thank you for doing the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for your kind words. Let me take another caller. This is Shaw Parali, you're live on air.
This is Prashant here. So I have two questions. So one is regarding OPT. Actually, my wife is working full-time in OPT. Mm-hmm. So she likes actually to teach and she wants to provide some training for some people. And the other people who are going to take the training, they're it's through a consultancy. So they said that they can give this W-8 or some form. So whether she can work and earn more than 40 hours. Sorry.
Usually no, because the OPT itself has limitations, but you have to check with the DSO what kind of OPT they gave him. But as far as I know, working more than 40 hours is not allowed if it is not stated. But full time can be anything. But I have to double check on that myself, because nobody has ever asked me that. Usually, but I think it's allowed. It depends what is considered full time and etc. But I have to double check on that. But depends what she's doing too. Is she on a regular OPT or the OPT time extension?
She's on the regular OPT now. She's going to apply for the time extension now.
Okay, the time extension is a little bit more strict, so be careful on that. But as far as I know, I think you can work extra. But if you're working two jobs under the STEM, that would be a problem, because if you look at the form 983 under the STEM, the rules are very strict. The rules of monitoring, enhancing your career, etc. And maybe teaching will do that, but who's going to supervise the teacher? Who's going to monitor a teacher? You will need another teacher. So that might be a problem. It's not the 40 hours that will be the problem. The problem will be the monitoring that is attached to the OPT. OPT no longer can just do work now. They have to really meet the requirements of of really showing that they are enhancing their knowledge by doing the work. They cannot just work for the sake of working. So that's what they're cutting off now. So be careful, and before you go, just maybe give me a call at the office. We can do a consultation and ask closely. But I will not recommend taking chances on the new STEM OPT. Okay?
Okay,
okay.
Sure. Can I ask one more question? Okay, so it's regarding the I-140 EAD law. So is it going to be like coming live in some time? Do you expect it?
No. Not the EAD. Okay. There's no EAD that is coming, but there will be some changes, hopefully, on the I-140, which hopefully will be passed. But technically, the EAD, I don't see it coming. That is a different one. That's not the one that they are proposing right now, which passed the comments level. But anyway, I don't even know until I see. There was some good chance of the other law passing, but not the EAD so far. Okay?
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Luck to you. So let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air. I don't know if I have another caller right now. I'm just saying. But so, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking a little bit about the visa built-in. But I'm going to shift. We have one caller, frankly saying. Let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rai. You're live in here.
Hi, Shah. This is Anusha.
Anusha.
A question regarding my husband's H-1B. His six-year term for H-1B gets over end of Jan, and they have started his green card application process, but they've still not applied for his perm. So my question is, if they apply for his perm, can they, based on that perm application, can they apply for his extension, or do they have to wait for the perm to come to apply for the extension?
Okay, there's only two ways to do extensions if you reach 6 years. One of them is if your perm is pending for 365 days, or there's a combination of pending from the perm and then audit, or from the perm and an I-140 pending. It has to do 365 days, or you get an I-140 approved right away. So let's say the I-140 gets approved in 6 months, you're fine. You can do extension. So there's no way to do an extension really without either of those two. 365 days pending or I-140 is approved.
So my understanding was that once you have the perm approved, you can do a one year by one year extension. And if you have the 140 approved, you can do a 3 year by 3 year extension. Is that correct?
The second part is correct. The first one, no. It's not the approval of the I-1 of the perm that counts. It's a pending time of 365 days. So if it is pending, and even if it can be approved, but let's say your I-140 is pending, and you add the two, you take the time on the I-140 and the time it took for the perm, you add the two, you get 365 days. Yes, you will be okay. That's why we tell people to make sure they file their perm 1 year before, because otherwise there's no 365 days in your hand to be able to get this pending by that time. So yes, the rule is pending 365 days, not approval. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Good luck to you. This is a very good question, by the way, because the confusion, even sometimes lawyers get confused. Even myself, I used to get confused. So let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air.
Hello, Mr. Saad. Good morning. This is Venkat.
Hi, Venkat. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. What can I do for you?
Yeah, good question. So this is for my friend. His Indian passport, he was applying for his renewal. When he started applying for when he started filling the application, he found that the passport has already expired a couple of weeks back. So what should we do at this point in time?
What are you filing right now?
San Francisco.
No. What are you filing? I didn't hear because there's a background noise.
Indian passport renewal.
Okay, so you're renewing Indian passport, or you're filing anything with U.S. immigration?
Yeah. But apply for a passport renewal and during the renewal process, can we stay in the country? Does it have any issues or?
You mean renewal of what? Which visa?
Renewal of Indian passport. The passport has, Indian passport has expired. But I have, but my friend has a valid visa.
Yeah, the Indian passport doesn't control America. Well, it is ultimately because it has to attach. So as long as you get the Indian passport, you're fine. Yeah, he's still legal. Don't travel, though. Until you get the passport, don't travel. But he's safe. He has a valid... They might not renew the visa if you don't have the passport, but if he already has it, he's safe, okay?
Yeah,
as long as
he
has status, he's safe, okay?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sir.
So I'm so sorry, I was not hearing you properly. I think there was a background noise. So, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to thank you all for calling, and I think we still have few callers. But before I take the other callers, I wanted to talk a little bit about the other subject. And of course, everything I'm telling you today is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. And again, our number to the office is 510-742-5887. We had some very, very interesting questions today on H1, on OPT, on L. I don't think we had on L, by the way. And we had some on the citizenship, which is very interesting. So now we're going to talk a little bit about debt settlement, because this is another thing that is kind of now hitting us hard. We are hearing a lot of people getting laid off because it seems the economy is really now reaching its peak, and there will be some layoff and there will be some backward trend. But we will come back probably by next year. But until then, hopefully, depending who's going to be the president, until then, we recommend that you ask, actually now get ready. For a little bit, the boat is going to be rough a little bit. So if you have any debts, like credit card debts, like business debts, SBA loans, etc. SBA loans is kind of tough, but we can still help you. Or you have a second mortgage on your house and your house is not doing well, or the creditors are coming after you now because your house have appreciated and you owe money on your second mortgage or credit cards, please give us a call. 510-742-5887. We can help you with a debt settlement. We can help you. We can help you only on the side of settling those debts. We don't do bankruptcy, but we can make you avoid it. So call us 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller. This is Shap Rai. You're live on here. Excuse me. Go ahead. Hello. This is Shapra, you're live on air.
Thank you, Shah. My company has filed I-140 for me for application developer position. So for the next promotion cycle, I am eligible for managerial promotion, which will change my salary and everything. So I'm a bit confused now whether to accept this promotion or not, considering that my perm and I-140 are almost done. I believe my company will again start processing from the beginning if the rule is changed too much, but I am not sure. I haven't discussed with them. But my question is, can I hold the or retain the priority date for the different position?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is this position, the I-140 is already approved?
It's waiting for the approval.
Okay, and so what is your priority date?
Priority date is November 2015.
Okay. Okay, then, yeah, you will be able to retain the priority date if you do another perm. And they will have to do another perm if you're moving completely in the managerial position. Otherwise, when it's time for the green card, they have to send you backward. So, yeah, you should not get worried about this. But you have to first have the I-140 approved in order for you to get the priority date. So the first I-140 has to be approved, then you can borrow that priority date and push it on the second firm they're going to file, okay?
Oh, okay, but still I can get the priority date of the application developers, firm, right?
Yeah, you get the priority, it doesn't matter, but as long as the I-140 is approved, okay?
So if the I-140 gets denied or they don't follow through with this case, then you don't get that priority date. It's only when the I-140 is approved, then you can borrow that priority date. Doesn't matter what job position, but you can only borrow it when it's approved, okay?
All right? Thank you.
Good luck to you. I have another caller. This is Shaparali, you're live in here.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, actually I have a question. I came to US on H4 visa and I applied for change of status here to F1. I have started my studies and I'm doing certification course and that will be over by December actually. And after that I have my OPT. So my doubt was if in December, as I'll be getting my F1 visa till that time, so if in December I travel to India and come back again, so will I face problem after coming back? Because I heard once I come back again, so they'll ask me as my certification is over, then why I am coming back? But still I'll be having my OPT left.
Do you have a stamp on your passport for F1?
No, as of now I don't have. As of now I have for H4, but I have applied for change of status. Maybe around 1 month back. So maybe I am expecting it to come back.
The problem will not be at the airport. The problem will be at the U.S. Embassy itself. They might not give you the F1 visa. And if you don't get the F1 visa, you will be able to come back only at the H4. And when you come back on the H4, the OPT will be gone. So that's the biggest problem when you do change of status.
Sorry?
The problem on change of status is basically you're not having a stamp. So you have to go and get the stamping to come back. Right? So
As now I am in H4, and if I get F1, maybe by September or October, then after, if I go India and come back, then they won't allow me.
They will allow you, but you have to go get a stamping of F1.
Stamping for?
F1.
Okay, stamping for F1.
Yeah, and they are not going to give you the stamp if you are on OPT most of the time. They do give it, but most of the time they don't. They will tell you you're almost finished, you don't need a stamp of F1. They will give you a hard time. They might give it depending on your school, but usually the best is to go right now instead of doing change of status. If you're going change of status to F1, go outside, get the F1 stamp, come back. Like that, if you already have the F1 stamp, when you become an OPT, it will not be a problem for you to come back.
Okay. So if I go on OPT, then it won't be a problem, you mean to say?
No. Give me a call at the office because I think you don't know really how it works. So you're going to make a mistake if you travel. So give me a call at the office. I'll guide you what to do because this is a little bit complicated the way it works. If you even you have the F1 now, doesn't mean you can travel on that F1. All you are going to get is a status. And when you go for a stamping, it's better to go for a stamping when you are in school, not when you are on OPT. That's what I was saying.
Okay. Fine. Okay.
So it's very confusing, this thing. So please give us a call, 510-742-5887. I have one more caller, I think, and then I'll take Amit. This is Shapra, you're live in here. Hello? Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if I can take more callers now, and I will ask Franco how much. I really thank you for calling, and I apologize. Sometimes, some of the answers is very difficult for me to answer on the air because you have to kind of go back to the original knowledge of how the law works. But at the same time, I understand this is my job. I understand it. But for you to really kind of understand it, sometimes it's good to do a consultation. And the number to our office is 510-742-5887. And I was discussing a little bit about debt settlement before I finish. And debt settlement is a way to get out of debts without having to file bankruptcy. Check yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. One word, yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. Our website, check the kind of cases we have done, second mortgages, credit cards, loans, you name it, we can help you. And if you're getting sued, a litigation, and you want to negotiate it, we can help you too. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Ramadan Mubarak to all too. And we will be back on Monday from noon to 1. And if you're hearing this on Monday, that means a recorded show. And anything I'm telling you today is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided.